Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, we do this every single Wednesday at 10:30. Our good buddy, great friend of the program, the station, everything, Tyson Alger, the I-5 corridor, Lookout Eugene Springfield, joins us for two seggies on Wednesdays to talk about our Oregon Ducks. He's our Oregon Duck man. Tyson, good morning. You are actually covering the I-5 corridor today, correct?
You know what, guys? I'm just being a full-fledged fan today. I'm heading up for the Mariners game.
Yes!
You guys have been in this business long enough. You cover sports enough that, you know, being a fan can be hard sometimes, and it takes a little bit of the sheen away, but the Mariners are still my little bastion of fandom. And I've never been to a playoff game as an adult, and that ends today. So I'm very excited.
That's super dope.
Congrats, my man. I'm so happy for you. Should be a fun one with Kirby on the bump tonight. Place will be rocking in the ALCS. I like that Mariners team. I like them a lot. But let me ask you bring up that point, Tyson. I mean, like, let's pull the curtain back a little bit. You cover the Ducks for years. You know, you've built the I-5 corridor. You've built a brand for yourself to cover. When do you sort of, because let's be real, as us, like for me, I'm not a Duck fan, but I want them to be good. It's good for my job. It's good content. How do you live in that world, especially coming off like a big loss to Indiana?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, and I think it's evolved a bit, because when I came out of journalism school and started at the Oregonian, it was still kind of in the younger days of there weren't a whole lot of sports writers or kind of people in that realm that were like outwardly sports fans. You know, you had to, you know, be objective, and I that's definitely kind of how I've carried myself throughout my career, especially, and it helps not being from here. I'm from Alaska, but, you know, ultimately, like, if you give all of us truth serum, like, you want to cover a national championship team. Mm-hmm. You want to see the Blazers win an NBA title. You want all those things, because not only are they incredible stories to write, but they're good for the city. And I think as like I've evolved here in Portland and kind of changed the way that I write a little bit, you know, like, I'm still not like necessarily like openly cheering, but like I'm a fan of Portland and I'm a fan of Oregon. I love the state, and ultimately I want everyone to succeed. So I think that's where I kind of land on that. And so, yeah, coming off of a Oregon-Indiana game where, you know, those are, you get a couple of those times a year where you really get to kind of, you know, thump your chest and be like, this is Oregon, like, this is a showcase. And for the Ducks to lose that in a pretty kind of just bleh fashion was, you know, I think just kind of costly. Like, we only get so many of those moments in this state a year, and I just thought that was a pretty big disappointment.
All right, Tyson, let's go to the scene of the crime. What was your takeaway at halftime, and how did you feel at the end of that game, and where did you ultimately fall on where Indiana sits in the pantheon of the teams you've kind of watched this year, and where Oregon currently sits?
Yeah, Indiana's far and away the best team I've seen this year. You know, it's so hard to kind of compare, because like I still think that Penn State team Oregon beat on that specific day was a very good football team.
I couldn't agree more.
I think both teams put a lot of emotional capital into that game, and you've kind of seen what happens when you lose that sort of game. And I don't think Penn State is necessarily as good as we thought they were that week, but I don't think that's automatically a bad win. But I mean, Indiana, it was just one of those games where, you know, from the very first drive where Oregon came out and got to midfield and the Ducks go like, okay, we're going to assert ourselves and go for fourth and short here and really set the tone. And Indiana's like, nah, no, you're not. Like, we're going to stop you, and then we're going to go down on the next drive. And so I thought Indiana was a better football team that entire game. However, you know, as soon as Brandon Finney gets that pick six and it's a tie football game, all of a sudden you go like, okay, it's home crowd momentum. Like, the Ducks got this, and ultimately they didn't. But, you know, I think it showed a fair amount of things that the Ducks need to get better at, but also, you know, they were pretty close to beating what I think is a top three football team in the country right now. So I don't think it's the sky is ultimately falling after an October loss.
I think you bring up a great point. I felt the same thing after the pick six. I was like, man, Indiana's the better team here, but Oregon might sneak this game out. And I think that's a testament to kind of resilience, the power of Autzen, et cetera. But I want to get into, look, there's a ton of things that didn't go well. The offensive line was really rough. I thought they bottled up, you know, DeCorian and Kenyon very well. There's kind of issues all over the place, but I want to start at the guy at the signal caller. Is this just a bad game for Dante? Was Indiana just absolutely ready for him, or is Dante not ready? Like, I'm kind of all over the place. Or is it a Will Stein conservative offense? Because I came out of that game really, really scratching my head and frustrated in the play I saw from QB.
Yeah, I think it can be a mixture of all things. You know, it's Dante had five very, very good football games, and it kind of washed out the fact that, like, you know, he wasn't perfect while he was at UCLA. And yes, he took the year behind Dylan Gabriel and took all this time to, you know, as we said, develop behind him. But, like, I think coming into the year, we all expected him to show a few warts. And I think just we kind of got out over our skis a little bit. I think he's still a very good quarterback. I just don't think he's faced a defense or even like a game plan like Indiana threw at him, where he just kind of looked confused for a lot of the game. And I know the offensive line had its issues as well. You go from being sacked one time all year to six times in one game. I think he might have been having flashbacks of playing in the Rose Bowl for the Bruins for a bit there. But I still think he's incredibly talented. I think he's got the right type of head on his shoulders to figure out what was beating him and to be able to rebound. But, you know, I don't think Will Stein's game plan for that defense was necessarily the best thing either. It was just a lot of those short throws, and they were basically breaking no tackles in that game. Oregon had no explosive plays outside of the first quarter. It was essentially just that 44-yard pass to Jeremiah McClellan for the touchdown. And then after that, the Ducks didn't have a single drive above 50 yards in the final three quarters of the game. Like, that just doesn't work when you're playing an Indiana team that came in scoring 50 points per game.
Tyson, when you look at like what Oregon has coming up the next couple of games, they've got a springboard before they have to go and take on that disgusting, just god-awful, just drag-you-in-the-mud Iowa team. What do you want to see out of these next two games before they go and head into Iowa?
I really want to see a clean first few drives against Rutgers. This is another road game. It's the first time you're going to New Jersey. You're coming off a bad loss. You're playing a Rutgers team that isn't all that good. Like, I just want to show that, like, them to show that, like, yes, Indiana, we didn't play well, but we've identified what didn't work, and we're still the team that we thought we were 2 weeks ago. You know, this is kind of a crazy season, because coming into the year, I was coming on here saying that, like, yeah, they'll probably have one or two losses, and they're going to show some growing pains, and then all of a sudden they go 5-0 and it's national championship. You know, they could be number one, all those sorts of things. And so we're kind of back to where we started, but I still think that this is an Oregon team that should be dramatically better than a Rutgers team that they just have far more talent than, and they should have a better coaching staff than. So I think just playing clean and beating a team that they should soundly on the road would be impressive. And then they come back home for Wisconsin in the Grateful Dead game and just wear those tie-dye uniforms and beat the heck out of those Badgers. I think that's the expectation, especially after seeing what some of the other teams have done to Wisconsin this year.
He's Tyson Alger, the I-5 Corridor. Lookout Eugene Springfield joining us live from I-5 on his way to the Mariner game. We'll put a pin in this real quick, and we'll come back, and we'll keep talking about how you can adjust and how you bounce back from wins. Stick with us. Tyson's going to join us one more segment right here on 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Tyson Alger joins us every single Wednesday at 10:30 for two seggies. Gracious enough to hang with us as he is on his way to the Mariner game. I am super jealous. I am here. I'm here with Danny Tyson.
Yeah, you're here doing a sports radio show. You got it so bad.
But Tyson, let's get right back into it. We asked this question before you came on with us, just how you adapt after a big loss like that, because I think we've seen kind of Texas, you know, crawl their way kind of back into this. I don't know if they're in national championship conversation anymore per se, but coming off that emotional loss at Ohio State, we've seen Penn State, the wheels completely fall off, which leads to your $50 million buyout head coach. What is the landing approach to coming off that big loss? Because you can tell, we talked about this, he's a man that almost hates losing more than he loves winning.
Yeah, fortunately, we don't have a ton of data points to really pull off of. I think this was maybe his seventh loss in 4 years with the Ducks. He hasn't lost two games in a row. I think they're pretty good at, they obviously build up each week to a certain level. Like, we've seen that in their behind the scenes videos. It seems like they have a different theme each week. I'm not sure what they're going with this week with Rutgers, but I think it's pretty helpful in this era of college football where you can have a loss, you can have two losses, and you can still make the playoff. I think it's very easy for them to point to what Ohio State did last year. Obviously, that was a pretty devastating loss for them to Eugene, and they were able to bounce back from that pretty well. I think they played pretty well in the postseason. So I don't think necessarily the getting them to like refocus and kind of shift into the Rutgers week is going to be all that difficult. I think it was a little bit not embarrassing for them, but I think it was a bit of an eye-opening moment just because this team hasn't faced a whole lot of adversity this year. But I think also when you look across the college football landscape, like, there's just not a whole lot of elite teams right now, maybe aside from Ohio State, who also really hasn't been tested other than that Texas game. But as we look across the country, I mean, Texas is a great example. Like, we were ready to bury them in Arch early in the season, and I don't know if they have enough runway to kind of fully get back to the playoff, but like, you see teams change and evolve and they can get better. And so I think that's probably the message for the Ducks. And I don't think it hurts going on the road for this game. I think Rutgers could be a potential trap game, but I think being able to kind of like refocus in and be like, hey, like, this is going to be a pretty formidable task flying across the country, I think that's probably the way they go about it.
Tyson, one of the things that I came away out of the Penn State and Indiana game was Oregon has clearly a ton of talent on the offensive side of the ball, but we have yet to really see it materialize. Do you start wondering, when they're playing teams of consequence, not the Montana States and Oklahoma States and Oregon States, that when they play teams like Penn State, they play teams like Indiana, they play teams like you probably throw Iowa in there, and then USC and Washington. I don't want to say concern, because concern is too strong of a word. But do you look at that offense and kind of go, maybe it's not quite as explosive as we thought it might be?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of interesting in this game because, like, you do see occasional plays from a DeCorian Moore or Kenyon Sadiq, and it can look pretty easy at times. But then, you know, you kind of look at the numbers afterwards, and it's like, why not feed these guys more? And I don't know if it's because they're the two very clear-cut favorite guys, and they're easier to lock down because Oregon's still a little bit, you know, kind of unproven in other spots. But it's just, it's been fascinating, especially when you look at the Penn State game, too. Like, these last two games, I forget the exact stat, but basically since if you take out the overtimes, like, Oregon's offense hasn't really mounted any real consistent success against Big Ten opponents so far outside of Northwestern. So, I think the talent's still there. I think they're still kind of, you know, figuring out who the guys are. You can just take a look at the running back rotation. I mean, like, this week it was Jordan Davidson, who for the first 5 weeks had only been used in like 1 yard situations. I think he was like the sixth different duck to lead the team in rushing this year. So I think they're still kind of figuring out who they are as they go about trying to still compete at a very high level.
Yeah, that was the question I was going to ask you about that running back room. You know, I wish they would have stuck with the run a little bit more. A lot of our listeners thought that as well about running the ball, especially with Davidson, because he was having such a nice kind of being the only success there in that room. Talking about guys like Hill and things like that, you know, is he just a bad matchup at this Indiana team? Will we see him on Rutgers? Is it a pass protection thing? I'm curious. You kind of alluded to it. We thought coming out of the Penn State game, we knew our running back core, and it seems maybe we don't.
I think they put five of their headshots on like a spinning board, and then they do the spinner, and that's who's going to get the most carries for the game. It was a little surprising to me to see Davidson kind of get more run than Lamar, especially after how he played against Penn State. But I think that's just the Ducks are really trying to reward these true freshmen that they have that have really come in and not only like produced. I think between the two of those guys, you can say they've been probably the biggest upside for the team, whether it's in the touchdown or in Lamar's case, some longer runs. But just the way that they've kind of like stepped up as leaders too. Like I think that's probably, you know, if you want to read between the lines, probably why they ended up getting so much more play over some guys who might've been more heralded coming in. But I just think that they don't really have a true cut number one at that position right now. And so they're still kind of feeling it out. I was actually really impressed with the way that Davidson was able to kind of like cut and accelerate on a few of those runs. Again, we just hadn't seen him in those situations, but it looks like the Ducks have another talented guy on their hands.
Rutgers does not pose near the problems of Indiana, to say the least, but you are flying across the country.
Same colors.
And they do have a pretty productive quarterback that's going to, you know, at least test them in some facet. What do you want to see out of Oregon in this game and how impactful they can be? Just kind of like to kind of build that momentum back.
I want to see some defensive disruption. Rutgers is going to pass the ball as much as anybody that they see this year. They're pretty good at it, but they're not nearly at the same talent level as some of the better teams Oregon will face this year. So guys like Mateo Uiagalelei, Tatum Tuioti, Bear Alexander, Mari Washington, I want them to add to their sack totals. Oregon's pretty down compared to where they were last year in terms of TFLs and sack numbers, and I just think that this sets up as a game to really kind of assert yourselves out there. Rutgers has been sacked, I think, around 30 times already this season, so it's a very opportunistic chance for the Ducks defense to put some pressure on them and also kind of give that secondary, which has shown that it can be opportunistic time to track the ball and potentially create some havoc.
It's Tyson Alger, the I-5 corridor. Look out, Eugene, at Springfield. We'll throw these last couple at you. Timbers this weekend take on San Diego. I'll be at the game. I'm really excited. Is there anything we can see in this game that makes us feel better going into the playoffs, or are we just going to still be like, who knows what this team's going to look like in the playoffs?
Well, I think you can probably take a little bit away from this game because this is an important game for them. If they win, they get that 7 seed, and they're actually in the playoffs. If they lose and there's a little bit of not help around the league, there's a chance that they're still in the wild card game. You know, this is a Timbers team that for 6 months, it seems, they keep saying like, oh, it's like we're about to find it. Well, you're out of time now. And so these are the games where if Phil Neville really wants to say like that this is the path forward that is right for us, I think they need to win that game. If they don't win that game, they have no better record than last year. And ultimately, it's a team that scored way less goals than last year. It's been way less fun to watch play. Like, what do you get if you don't win some of those games when you absolutely have to?
All right, Tyson, you said you're going up to your first ever Mariners playoff game. Certainly you want the win. What's the experience going to be like here? Are we doing a 999 situation? Like, what do we got going on? Is there a ballpark plan? Like, where are we sitting? What's the activity for the day leading up to the game and during the game?
Well, my wife and I are driving up, and we're going to get a nice lunch at Joe and the Juice in downtown Seattle.
Yes,
we're going to get that spicy tuna sandwich. It's pretty good if you haven't had it. And then we're going to go check into the Airbnb, and then we're going to scooter down to the stadium, and then we're just going to let baseball happen. So it's going to be a good day.
Go ahead and plug the I-5 corridor. What you got this week?
We have a podcast coming out on Friday with Justin Myers. We're going to be kind of dissecting what it's like to be a fan at a sporting event for once. Mm-hmm. And then over at Eugene Lookout, we're beginning to roll out our college basketball season preview. So on Friday, we're going to have a little bit of a look into who the Oregon men's basketball team is this season.
That sounds great. He's Tyson Alger, joins us every single Wednesday. He's our Ducks insider. He's our Timbers guy. And more importantly, he's a fan tonight, bud. Maybe turn your phone off. Have a great night with the wife and just kick back and let, like you said, let baseball be baseball.
Absolutely, boys. Thank you.
Yep, thank you.
That Enjoy,
is
brother.
Tyson Alger, the I-5 corridor. Look out, Eugene Springfield. Go check out his stuff. He's a wonderful, wonderful friend of not just this show, but everyone here at the station.
Indeed.
Yeah, I like that guy a lot.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.